Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Hello, welcome back. Shalom Aleichem. We're at Chulin Daf Nun Hei Yomar Aleph. We're right in the middle of the Amid. Nital HaTchol. So back to the list of kosher phenomenon, meaning these are defects which do not render the animal treifa, despite their seriousness. For instance, we have nital hatachol, tchol is the spleen. If it's gone, it's still the animal can still live on, in which case it's not a treifa. Amar Rav Avira, mishmei de Rava, comes Rav Avira, and gives us a sort of a disclaimer. Lo yishanu, that's only so. When do we say the missing tachoil is not an issue? Elish elanita. That's only if it's gone. Aval nikav, but if it got a hole through and through, then it's trefa. So a damaged spleen is worse off than no spleen at all. Masav Rabbi Yosi bar Abba. I have a question. V'itema some say Rabbi Yosi bar Zvida. You're telling me that a damaged spleen is worse? And that makes the animal a trefa, that could it can lead to illness, to disease. We have a Mishnah later on in our Masechta. So a fellow chops off a piece of an unborn fetus inside the animal. So then when they shech the mother animal, that shechita covers everything within it, the fetus, and even something which had been severed from the fetus while still in the animal's stomach. So the shechita of the mother covers the entire fetus, in whichever state it is. But minat chol uminat kleis, if one detaches a piece of the mother animal's spleen or kidneys, that's eber min hachai, piece of a living animal, osur ba'achila, even after the shechita of the mother, that part that had been detached is osur. But only that's a problem. Hod behemu guf hashari, but apparently the actual mother animal itself is okay. Apparently, severing a piece off the tchoil does not render the mother a treif, unlike Ravira, who just told us otherwise. Says the Gemara, you're right. Hu adin afilu behimanami asir. In this case, where the tchoil was damaged to this extent, that renders the mother animal a treif, and the behemah is asir. It's just I did tanaresha, but the bachila, since the Mishnah has two parts, right? Part A is where part of the unborn was detached. And the lesson in the Mishnah is that it's okay, it's mutar ba'achila. So in order to contrast that, Tanina Miseifa, in the second part of in the second segment, the Mishnah comes back and tells us that the part that was severed off the mother is also ba'achila, cannot be eaten. So, you know, the focus is on the part that had been severed, that had been detached. But certainly you're right. In the Seifa, not only can't you eat the part that was detached from the mother itself becomes disabled because she becomes a treifa. Boy, same. Another way to answer, nikav l'chud. There's a difference between getting a hole. That spleen will just generate and cause big problems. V'nechach l'chud, as opposed to just getting sliced off a piece of the tchoil, that's different. That doesn't have the same, you know, lethal effect. Nitla kleis, next item. Kidneys are gone. Once again, that's okay. The animal's still kosher. Amar rachish bar papa mishmei de Rav, he quotes Rav, loksa b'kul yachas treifa. But loksa is worse. Once again, the same idea. Disease, illness is worse than missing at all. Loksa, Rashi says, kuin malya mugla, for instance, full of pus, even one kidney, certainly two, would make it a treif. Amri Marava. Now in Eretz Yisrael, they explained, V'udem atoy lakus, that's only if this diseased element reaches to the critical part of the kidney, which is, it's like a bean-shaped organ, and we have this like crevice in the middle with like whitish material where the nerves are, etc. So if the illness reaches that point, l'makom charitz, to where the crevice is, then he's in trouble. Ve'echa makom charitz, what exactly is that? L'chivra tusimasne, that's the whitening. It's the whitish material that reaches to the area of tusimasne beneath the sides of the animal there by the hip area. Omar Rav Nechunya, he says, I asked, Shaltinu, I took a poll. Lekulu Trufoi, all the Trefa experts in Eretz Yisrael, the Marav, they told me, Hilchasuk Rachash Bar Papa. Is that in fact we paskin like Rachash Bar Papa, who just told us that the diseased kidney is worse off than a missing kidney? But regarding the damaged spleen, no, v'less hilchasa, we don't paskin like Rav Avira, that would be a concern. But that's only true l'amar el b'kulshe. When is it not a concern if the hole, the damage in the spleen is in the kulshe, the weaker, the thinner side of the spleen, which is not as critical, that's part that's hanging down, that's not really, you know, really connected to the surrounding. Aval b'sumche, but if the hole is found in the sumche, the thicker part on top, treif, that's a problem. If it, in fact, goes through and through. Now, let's say it goes partially through, but doesn't really reach the other side. There's still a little bit of wall left there. V'yishtayr be'evi dinar, if there's a little spleen material, thickness of a dinar zav, that's okay. That saves the day. And the animal's kshir. Amri marava, in Eretz Yisrael, they had an interesting correlation, interesting formula between the lungs, which are deemed more sensitive, versus the kidneys, which are not as sensitive. Kol ha'poisel b'ri'a, any disease, any phenomenon that's problematic by the lungs, for instance, a hole makes it a treva, kosher b'kulya. If that same phenomenon is found in the kidneys, it's okay. Sha'rei, for instance. Look, shall we neck a puzzle beray? Look, a hole in the reya is puzzle, as we learned many times. Bekasha bekulia, but it's okay in the kulia. Koshkin certainly echad the kasha bereya. Certainly a condition which is deemed okay, even when it's in the lungs. Certainly it's kasha, it's okay when it's in the bekulia in the kidneys. Maskevla Rav Tanchuma, how could you make this rule? Klolu, is this really a set rule? Very mugla. What about that pus, which indicates infection and disease, the kasha bereya? If found in the lungs, it's okay. It just cleanses itself out. It's okay, as we learned. But if it's found in the kidneys, it's no good. Like we said, interestingly, if you find clear liquid, that's okay, whether it's found in the lungs or the kidneys, despite the fact, right, Tosis explains, despite the fact that we assume that the liquefied material is really pus that liquefied. So we see that even though it was pusy and considered the trefa, but now that's liquefied, it's okay. How do you explain all this? Elam Rav Ashi, he says, you're right, you can't compare. You cannot match up two conditions. Each condition has its own track, its own set of rules, as we learned many times, based on Halacha Moshe Sinai, taught by Hashem, who knew the secrets of creation. And in fact, the Mefarshim, you know, the Rav Moshe Feig, Chaznish, the Rambam writes about, he says that even though we see changes in nature, today things aren't as they were then, right? Some things which are considered totally critical and dangerous at that time in history, today is not an issue, or maybe vice versa. He says that that's the way it is. It's been set down that these specific conditions, which were life-threatening at the time of Matan Torah, they're considered treifa status for all time. Okay, Elon Rav Ashi, treifa is kamedamas la'adad. Are you trying to compare two conditions? No, we don't say that. In Imrim, treifa is zu demelizu. You got the wrong subject. You don't compare treifa. You don't say, well, this is like that. Because look, shari choytcha, you can have the same cut. In one place it's a trefa, one place it isn't. Choytcha mikan umes, you cut it by the tooth, by the simanim, you cut it by the masagidin, where the nerves, you know, converge, critical areas, it makes it a trefa. But that same type of slice, choytcha in a different way, mikan, cut it on the hip and the back, and it lives. So you can't compare the two. Says the Gemara, Mayim Zakim Ksherin. This is what we say, Mayim Zakim, clear water is okay. Lo Yamarin Elab Tzili, that's only if it's really clear. But if it's unclear, Treifa, then it's a sign of disease and Treifa. And even when it's clear, we say it's okay, but that's only Elab Tzariach, when it doesn't exude a negative odor. Aval Tzariach, but if it has the negative odor, then it's a Treifa. Because it indicates a much deeper, serious, more serious concern. Now, back to the kidneys. Let's say they've shrunken. Hakul yashik tina got really small. Bedaka, so it depends. If it's a light animal, ad kipul, until a pull, you're okay. Pull is a bean. Begasa, if it's a large animal, ad kamnova beinonis, until it's the size of a medium-sized grape, you're okay. Nitalechi atachtoin, lower jaw is removed, it's still okay. Marabzeir, aleshon, that's only true, aleshichal lichyes. Aide leitav amro can still live. By way of hand feeding it, that's le'itav amro, force feeding it. Aval eni choy lichyes, aide le'itav amro treifa, but otherwise it can't, doesn't have the ability to ingest food in any way. That's a real serious condition. And that makes it a treifa. Nitlo ha'im shalo, missing its womb, it's okay. And we have three names for this organ. Tana, we learned a braisa. This same organ can be called in three different names. He ha'aim, sometimes it's called a'aim. He tarfacha, sometimes tarfachas. But he, and elsewhere it's called shalfuchis. But it's all one and the same. V'charusa b'dei shamayim, k'sher. Charusa means an animal was frightened. In this case, was frightened by natural phenomena, by a scary thunder, which shrunk and hardened its lungs. It's okay. As long as it happened through natural phenomena, but not by way of a person frightening the animal, that apparently has a different result, and perhaps that's considered, apparently it's considered irreversible, as opposed to when it was b'dei shamayim, somehow it has a lesser effect, and it can recover from that condition. Tanu Rabban, ezeu charusa. So what exactly is charusa? Kol shet somko reya shelo. It's long, has shriveled, has hardened. It depends how it happened. B'dei shamayim, it happened naturally, k'sheira. B'dei adam, if it happened because it was scared by a person, treifa. Has a much more serious impact than it's a treifa. B'shem lozo eimer, af b'dei kol abriyes. Likewise, the animal got frightened by other creatures, by a lion's roar or whatever. Iboilu, and the question was, what did Reb Shimon Elazar mean when he said, even a lion's roar? Even that's considered like a natural phenomenon, and it's okay? Or is that considered like a person did it, and it's not okay? Which category is it under? Reb Shimon Elazar Reisha, he's going on the first part of the Braisa, speaking about natural phenomena. Ulukula, and even a lion's roar is lukula, is reversible and recoverable. Oh yes, if a koi luchumer, perhaps he's going to the second part of the braisa, speaking about bidei adam, it happened by way of a person, and even a lion's roar has the same status, and it's luchumra, which means it's irreversible, it's terminal. Tashmai comes a raya, the sanyu of a braisa. Charusa bidei adam is treifa, right? If it happened through adam, treifa, shemalazo eimer, af bidei kalabriyos. Likewise, if it was caused by a fellow creature, a fellow animal, it's the same like bidei adam, and it's a treifa. Here comes a story. Rabba Bar Chana, because Rabbi Magar is traveling along the desert, Ashka Chano Dichui discovers these rams and he shechted them. Did some create the doing? He discovered a shriveled, hardened, frozen lung. No, how did it happen? Naturally, or by way of human intervention? Also, Shobei Midrasha, he came to Beis Medrash. Is there any way to verify? He says, sure. Here's a test. Amrle Bekaita. Basically, you have to get to have it sit in lukewarm water for 24 hours, and you'll see if it sort of regains its earlier, its former size, former glory. And that would indicate that it's just a reversible situation and happened by way of natural phenomenon, and it's a non-trefa. How do you go about doing this? It depends. Unbelievable, if it's in the summer where it's really hot, you got to get yourself icy, bring along mishichli, a bowl, chivri, made of white clay, which is going to absorb less heat, which in turn is going to keep its content relatively cool. I'm a little creator, fill it with cold water, and dip the lung in there, have it sit for 24 hours, and see what happens. The hadron bari, and if it recovers and regains its earlier configuration, its plumpness, now that it happened through a lightning, a thunder, ukshera, the animal's okay. We lie, but otherwise, you know what happened by way of Adam, and it's a treifa. Besist for likewise in the winter, you go the other way. Ice mishichlich shechumi, get some black clay things which absorb the heat more and are considered to be more warm. Fill it up with lukewarm water and leave the lung in there for 24 hours and see what happens. Hadra barya, if it recovers its size, ksher, then it's okay. Viloy, otherwise it's a treifa. Next item, hagluda, an animal due to overwork or whatever lost its hide, lost its skin. What happens? Tan Rabbanu ever brayso hagluda, an animal in this condition, or meyer machshir, it says it's okay, it can still live. V'chachamim, they say no, poislam is a treifa. Ukvar heid alazo safra. So he testified, and also V'yochem and Gudgudah, they both testified, Ala gluda shepsula, that a gluda is in fact considered a treif. Amar Shimon Lazar, in fact, Chazav Rameir, who initially held that it was okay, reverted to his opponent's position. He considered that as a treifa, which indicates Mechlal, apparently the Rav Shimon Lazar, who made the statement, he holds, yeah, later he reverted, but initially, Palig Rav Meir Begluda, he disagreed. Rav Meir had an opposing opinion, he considered it to be okay, and then he changed his mind. Really, is that so? That Rav Shimon Lazar, there was a Machloikis way back? But Tani Vav Abraisa, which seems to say otherwise. Amar Rav Shimon Lazar, no, Le'nechok Rav Meir V'chacham, there was never a Machloikis between these two, Ala Gluda Shapsula, that a Gluda is considered a treifa. In fact, Kraheid Rav Shoshia, B'nai, Sharbida Habas, Rabbi Yeshua, the son of Yudah, the perfume seller, testified lifnei in front of Rabbi Kiva, Mishum Rabbi Tarfin, name Rabbi Tarfin, Ala Gdusha Psula, that this animal is a treifa. So in any case, this is Rishon Lazar telling us that there was never a machlokes. Rameir always held that as a treifa, and earlier he seemed to say that although initially Rameir held it was okay, then he changed his mind. Let's just finish the brisa first. So a gluda missing its entire skin supply is possible, but if there is some remnant, it's okay. V'nishtayer by kisela. If that remnant, that leftover skin, leftover hide, is the size of a sela, of a coin. So the area equals the size of a coin. Ksheira, it's okay because that could facilitate, that will facilitate future recovery to regenerate the missing hide. Okay, in any case, we have this contradiction. Amar of Nachmar Yitzchak, my lenechalku. Yeah, initially Rav Meir held it was okay. When Rav Shimon Lazar tells us lenechalku, he didn't mean there was never a machlokes. Lo yomad Rav Meir machlokes. I mean to say he didn't stand his ground. He didn't insist on keeping his position. He reverted, he conceded that it's a treif. Okay, now we're going to focus on this skin remnant, which will facilitate recovery. We're going to try to explore the size, the area size of this piece of remnant, of the piece of skin, and also location. Is that critical as well? Amar Amar, we have many shittos. So what do we learn? Im nishtayer b'kisela, ksheira, if a little bit size of a sela remain behind, it's okay. Hecha, now what does it have to be? Is size important? Is location important? Yes. Amar Vida Amar, he quotes Shmuel, al pnei hasheder kula, has to be along the spinal cord to cover that area, which is critical. Iboilan, the question is like this. What did he mean on the spinal? Darach v'katan, he means a really thin and long strip of hide whose total area equals the area of a sela. The chimitzar, if you combine it together, have a sela as the size of a sela. Or perhaps he meant like this, much more than that, much more. But rechav sela al pnei hashadra kula, the strip has to cover the whole shadra. The equation to the size of the sela is as follows. The width of that long strip is equal to the diameter of a sela. Toshmai comes in right. The Parish Rav Nira, he explained, Mishmein, the name of Yishmuel. I'll tell you what he meant. Be'roichav kisela p'nikla shadr kula, like the second way. It's a long strip, but it's wide enough. The width of a diameter of a sela. Rabba Barchana Omar, he has a different pshat, Roshi Prokin. This leftover skin is going to be on the joints. Rashi says like this: "B'chol pirkei chul yoseh v'atzamayis hashoich v'yorech be'inon shir kesela." It seems from Rashi that you need a sela amount of skin on every single joint, all along the animal's joints. That will help the animal recover. Rabbi Lezer ben Antigmas Mishum Lezer Rabbi Yano Amar. He has a different shot, a different location. Makam Tiburay. It's meant to be, this little remnant is meant to be situated Makam Tibur in the middle, at the navel area of the animal's stomach, which is critical to the recovery of the animal, of the skin. Boy Rabbi Yanai, Rabbi Yishmael, he has a question. So, location is important. Over the spinal, over the joints, over the navel. So if there's no skin anywhere except for on the spine, etc., then it's okay. What if there is skin just everywhere else except for the spine? Or except for the navel, except for the joints, relative to your, you know, position, to your opinion. Basically, how critical are these areas per se? Again, there's nowhere else. It's got to be there. But let's say it's everywhere else except minus for this critical point, this critical location. Is that considered a treif? Boy, Rabbi Ani, Rabbi Shmuel, nital mokem ha-shadrim, kula kaim. Everything else is there, except for the strip over the shadrim. Likewise, nital mokem tiburi b'kula kaim. According to the opinion, it has to be on the tiburi on the navel. Only that spot is missing. Everything else is intact. The same thing with the joints. Nitlu roshi prakim b'kula kaim. Joints are missing, but everything else is there. My, what's the halacha? Take it. We leave it unresolved. Amarav. So, a little skin is enough to regenerate, right? But what's considered height? Amarav, kolar kulei matzel, begluda. In a gluda situation, a peeled animal, any type of skin, any type of height, can save the day. Chutz mo ibris process, except for that flimsy, fleshy, softy hide at the bottom of the animal, right? The lower part of the animal. The bottom, near the bottom of the foot, which is considered like basar. It's no longer classified as real hide, in which case it doesn't really help us. So even though there's a piece down there, it doesn't help us. Rabbi Yechon Amar, filu erbeis ha-process nami matzel. He says, no, even that's considered hide and it could save the animal. Boy, mine Rabbi Asi, Rabbi Yechon. Okay, this question was posed again to Rabbi Yechon by Rabbi Asi. That skin on the bottom, or erbeis ha-process, mao, shi'atza begluda, can it save the gluda? Amar Leis says, yes, matzel, because it's classified as hide. Amar Leis, he says, matanu rabbeinu, you yourself taught us, in a different context, a different halacha, that in fact, that's not considered hide, it's considered basar, regarding tumah, right? Only an animal that dies, only the basar, the flesh is matame, the basar of a carcass, but not its hide. What about that transitional material, which is somewhere in between, right? And you taught us elu sha'iriseyan kivsaron. So we have a mission there, giving us a listing of skins which are considered fleshy enough to be considered like basar, and they have tumor. One of which is the Oybeis HaProses. This very skin that we're talking about. You yourself taught us that Mishnah. Amar Leis says, Al Tachni Tein, don't tease me, so to speak, from that Mishnah. Shibboloshin Yachid. Anishayin Oysa, it's a minority view. It's just expressed by a single individual, a single Tana, as we'll see later. It's not the prevailing consensus view. The Sani, in fact, we have a Raisa. But even that's considered hide. Except for one opinion. The Sani, Shaykhad Asa Oylos. Now we shift to yet a third context, which we're very familiar with from Sechas Zvachim, Sechas Menachit, the person shechts a carbon oila, and he has a mind, lahakter kazayis, to take a kazayis volume of the material, the oila, to do it in the wrong place, on the wrong time. Now he had a mind, instead of thinking about the flesh, he had a mind the skin. The skin is not really meant for the mizbeach, in any case, not meant for haktor, it's not haktor material. But it wasn't regular skin, it was the skin of the bottom of the tail. Which is soft and edible. And he had a mind, Huslam Kaimat, to do Akhtar on that in the wrong place. It's possible, they have a curse, the animal's carbon is possible. There's no curse unless there's a time factor involved. So Huslazman, if you had a mind to do it in a week's time, that makes the animal not just puzzle, it's pigle, v'chayelam karas, a person eats it, it gets karas. So only this very specific location has skin, which is like flesh. But otherwise, for instance, the oybeis ha-process in the bottom of the leg is not considered basar. That's the prevailing shita. And here comes the das yacha, that, you know, individual opinion, or lezer eliezer ben Yehuda isha ish the town from Ivlim. Amari quotes Mishmar Yaakov v'chein haya. Likewise, Reb Shimon Yehuda would, from ish ikus, from ikus would say Omer in the name of Mishmar Shimon. There are more locations. There are more skins that are regarded like flesh. Echad oy bes haprosos. Oh, that sounds familiar. Echad oy haroish shlegal rachol, the skin around the head of a young calf. Echad oy shetach sa'ayo, the under the tail. V'chol shemon chacham gabe tuma. And likewise, all those that were listed by the chacham regarding the ability to have tuma by a carcass, because they consider like basar elosh or saying kipsar, and all these items listed in the Mishnah. Their skin is fleshy, like their flesh, and have the same status. What are we including with that? We turn to the next page. Lahavi oyebes haboishes, to include the skin of the womb of the animal. So all these are considered like basar, regarding the, all these matters. Chuslim kam, if you had a mind to do haktar on the mizbech, on all these materials, they're considered like basar, and it's pasal ve'mekores, or chuslismano eats pigle v'chayam olakores. So that's his opinion. But according to the prevailing consensus, the rabbim, no. These are not regarded. Oibers process is not regarded like basar. It's regarded like hide, like skin, in which case, if that's all that's remaining from the skinned animal, from the gluda, it's matzel. Because it will engender recovery and facilitate the survival of the animal. Okay, so quick chazara. Discuss the missing spleen. Damaged spleen is worse off than the missing spleen. Damaged kidneys worse off than the missing kidneys. We discuss exactly how the damage is manifesting. We try to compare or contrast the kidneys to the lungs, and we came up with that klal again that we can't compare. The rule of no rules, right? We can't compare. Each one has its own. We discussed the missing womb, the shrunken lung, depending on what happened, and discussed the gluda and the remnant, which allows for recovery. All the best to you, Natzlachar.